I suppose one of the most familiar verses in the whole of the Word of God is John 3:16. Probably from childhood, from Sunday school days, you've heard that text or scripture quoted, or perhaps you've quoted it yourself and recited it in Sabbath school. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it has been true through the truth of that simple gospel in a nutshell, summed up there in John 3:16, that many hearts have been touched and many hearts have been hardened, rebellious hearts have been broken and brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. 1 John chapter 4 tells us that God is love. In the book of John's Gospel in chapter 13 it says, having loved his own, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And then of course in 1st Epistle of John chapter 4:19 it says, we love him. We love him because he first loved us. We're also instructed in John chapter 15, love one another as I have loved you. And then in the Psalms, Psalm 116, the psalmist was able to say these words, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And what a wonderful thing that if you're able to say that out of the depths of your heart today, I love the Lord. But friend, that begs us a question this morning. Do you love the Lord? I wonder, are you in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? It tells us in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. The Lord Jesus said, this is the first and greatest commandment. And so the question is this morning, do we really, really love the Lord Jesus with all our hearts? Maybe there was a time in your life you did love the Lord. Maybe there was a time in your life when you did walk with God and you loved the things of God. You loved the place of prayer. You loved the reading of God's Word. You loved the fellowship with God's people. And yet, friend, there is something has happened in your life and you cannot say that this morning in this Free Presbyterian congregation. You cannot say it before the Lord. Lord, I really love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. Friend, perhaps there is something in your heart this morning before God, and you've got to say, there was a time I loved the Lord, but something stepped in, and there's another love in my heart, and another love in my life. Now, when you open the book of Revelation, you'll find that there's a threefold blessing. Let's turn to chapter 1 just for a moment. And it says there in verse number 3, it says, blessed is he that readeth. This is Revelation 1 verse 3. Blessed is he, and the word blessed is happy is he. Happy is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You'll notice there is a threefold blessing. First upon, he that readeth, and they that heareth, and of course they that keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Of course, there's always a blessing when everyone reads it, when you read the Word of God. It says, blessed is he that readeth. But the Word there speaks about more, not about individual reading, but the public reading of the Word of God. And therefore, we have the preacher, as we have done this morning, we have gathered in the presence of God, and I have simply read the Word of the Lord. And that, I believe, that blessing is in public worship and in public reading of the Word of God. But notice the way it puts it in the verse number 3 again. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of this prophecy. You see, this is also referring to the public hearing of the Word of God, just as you're gathered in this house this morning. And I have read the Word of God, and now you're listening to the Word of God, and it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth. Now, hearing is more than simply hearing with the ear or listening with the ear, but it is hearing in accepting. In other words, hearing to accept the Word and to apply the Word and the message to your daily life. And friends, you know, there are people who come along to church and they listen to the preacher, but there is no application. And my friend, I believe with all my heart that the preacher himself's missing out if there is not a message with application. Because the Word of God is not something for you to get intellectual knowledge in your head, but the Word of God is here for you to practice in your life. For you to go out from this church into that world out there, and you and I to live it. To live it before those, to live it in our families, to live it in our homes, to live it in our community, to live it in our workplace, because it says we not only read the Word of God, and not only have I read it this morning, but there is a purpose in the reading. They that heareth the Word, in other words, I pray that you'll not only listen to the Word, but you will accept the Word, that you will take the Word of God and apply it to your heart, and that the Spirit of God will do so. And then that you'll go out from this meeting, and that God will make this Word make your life different before the world, that they might truly know that you are the Lord's child, that you really do know and love the Lord. Because notice the third blessing. It says, blessed is he that readeth, blessed are they that hear the words, but here's the next thing, and blessed are those that keep the things that are written therein. In other words, that means to attend to diligently, to guard the Word. In other words, we are to treasure the Word of God in our hearts. And I pray this morning that that will be true in your life, that you're not only come to hear what the preacher's got to say, but that you will take this Word and that it will be guarded, it will be attended to diligently, and that you'll go out from the service and that you and I will live differently because of what the Lord is saying to our hearts. Yes, the psalmist says, I love the Lord. But I want you to notice here, now let's turn to chapter number 2, and John is, the Spirit of God is writing through John to the church at Ephesus. You'll find that there are 7 churches and there are 7 letters. You'll find also that all the letters are not the same. There's individual letters to the individual churches because what the Lord saw in the individual churches was something that was different, and therefore the Word was applicable to them. And I pray that God has given me a message this morning that is applicable to hearts in this meeting, not just simply to say, well, I heard a word this morning from the preacher, but I honestly pray and earnestly pray with all my heart that you will say, I heard a word from God this morning. God has spoken to my heart. Now notice how personal this is. Look at chapter 2 of Revelation and verse number 2. This is what God says, write to the church at Ephesus, and this is what I want you to tell them. I know, says God, I know thy works. Now we find here, this is personal, I know thy works. And the Spirit of God saying something, here is the omniscient God who knows all about them. He knows all about them. Now my friend, let me tell you this, there's not one person in this place knows all about anyone else and everyone else. But I tell you, there is one who does, and that's the Lord. And God says this morning, I know. Now, my friend, let me tell you, we live in a world that there's so much pretense. People pretend. They're trying to put on a show. We live in an age where the pressures are upon people to put on a show. People will purchase things, or rather they will go in to enter into agreement to buy things that they can't afford. Why do they do it? Because they want to put on a show. They want to be like the Joneses. They want to be like everybody else. And my friend, that's all right if you can afford it. But if you can't, it's wrong. It's wrong. Just trying to be something else or somebody else because somebody else has it. And you know, God says, listen, I'm not talking about pretense here. God says to the church at Ephesus, listen, I know you. I know thy works. I know just exactly what's going on in your hearts because the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15 and verse number 3. And the eyes of the Lord, my friend, are upon each and every one of us. God knows us. God knows us not as we try to pretend we are, but God knows us through and through. I want us to see 3 simple things as we come to the concluding part of our message this morning. And this is what God says to this church. What did God know? What did God know? And what did God therefore say to the church at Ephesus? I want you to notice, first of all, the Lord's commendation here. God says, I know thy works. And he says, I know thy labors, and I know thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. God says, listen, this is what I know about you. He says, first of all, I know thy works. Now, the word works there is really, I know your activities. Here he's talking about the church. And the church is full of activity. In other words, God says, I know that you're still busy in church activities. And he's speaking here about them being active. And it's good for a church to be active. But my friend, let me tell you, you can have activity and yet not be going anywhere. And never be getting anywhere. And God says, I know your activity. And then he says this, I know your labors. And my friend, the idea behind the word labors there is toiling until exhausted. Toiling until you're exhausted. In other words, you're so full of activities, you have so much to do, that you've come nearly to the end of your resources because you're exhausted by trying to do things. And therefore they were spending considerable energy in their activities in the church. Now, this was commendable in a certain way. They weren't just lying about and doing nothing. No, God says, listen, I know that you're active. In actual fact, you're so active, you're nearly exhausted. And friend, that can be so. You can get so full of activity that you can actually come totally drained. Totally drained. That's why the Lord said to his people, of course, come ye apart and rest a while. Sometimes God has to say to his children, come apart and rest, because they're so full of activities and they're just exhausted. And you know, God cares for his people. God loves his children. He doesn't want them to be totally exhausted and drained. And therefore it's their time also for to rest. They were exhausted in their labors. They were exhausted in their efforts. And God says, I know that. I know that. I've seen that. And then he said something else. I've not only seen your works and your labors, but God says, I've seen your patience. In other words, they were persistent in what they were involved in. God knew about all that was going on here. And they were steadfast in the midst of, even in days of testing. They faced problems. They faced pressures. But they kept on going. They were steadfast. He said this, you've been patient. You cannot bear them which are evil. You've tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and has found them liars. So they were taking a stand. And God said, listen, I know that. And there's the Lord's commendation. But my friend, I want you to come to the next thing in verse number 4. Because with all of that which God says, I know, I know, I know, says God. All about those things that you're doing. He said, listen, nevertheless, verse number 4, I have somewhat against thee. He says, thou hast left thy first love. And you'll notice, my friend, if you look there in that verse, you'll find that there's one word that's in italics, means that it was put in by the translators for the flow of meaning. But you can just remove it. Nevertheless, verse number 4, I have against thee. Somewhat is in italics. And God says, I have against thee. You see, the Lord saw with all their activities, with all their energies, even to exhaustion, toiling to exhaustion, and even with their patience, God says, I have against thee, because there's something missing. There's something missing in all of these activities, in all of your patience, in all of your labors. There is something that's missing. And God says, I have against thee. Friend, what an awful thing that if this is what is missing in your heart and my heart today, this dare not be missing in all of our activities, in all of our labors, in all of our patience. This dare not be missing If we're going to do something for God and be something for God in this day and generation in which we live, what is it? What is it missing? I believe you could rightly say these believers at Ephesus, they were strict and they were sound and they were steadfast. And you say, well, that's tremendous. That is powerful. That is powerful. They're full of energy. They're full of labors for the Lord. And yet God says, listen, and knowing all that, there is something that's missing that's major. There's a major problem here. In spite of all these praiseworthy characteristics, there's something that the Lord says, I have against thee. And God says, I can't overlook it. God will not overlook what's missing here, friend. With all of these things that are there that weren't missing. But there's something major that's missing. You see, it was not a fault of doctrine. It was of devotion. And this is what God says, I have against thee. He says, I have against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. You've lost the love for Christ. And friend, it is possible to go through church activities. And you know, there are people today, let's be honest, and they come to church. And they may put on the show and pretend that everything's well. And yet in their heart, there's something major missing. Something that used to be there that's not there anymore. What is it? God identifies it. He says, you've left your first love. You don't love me like you used to love me. You don't love me the way you used to love me. And friend, that's what was missing. Do you remember Mary and Martha, two sisters? You know, Martha, I believe, in actual fact, it seems to be that Martha was the one that owned the house. She seemed to be the key figure in the story. Yes, it was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But it seemed to be that the person that really was in charge in the home was Martha. Now, let's be honest. Martha was a person who opened her door to the Lord Jesus Christ. She just loved the Lord Jesus coming into it. As did Mary and Lazarus. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came into that home, she wanted to give her best to the Lord Jesus. She wanted to let the Lord Jesus know that he was welcome in her house. Of course, the Lord was quite often passing through. He found a resting place in that home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Do you remember when Lazarus died? See how he loved them. Oh, the Lord loved that family. But you know, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ had gone into that home, and after some time, Martha got up and she started to go around, get herself busy. Mary sat on. See, was Mary lazy? No, friend, she wasn't. Mary wasn't lazy. Mary wasn't trying to get out of doing something for the Lord Jesus and fail to make the Lord Jesus Christ welcome. In actual fact, Martha was so angry with Mary, she came over to the Lord and said, Lord, would you tell her to get up? She's sitting there, Lord, would you tell her to help me? Lord Jesus Christ said, Martha, you're busied about many things, but you know Mary, she's chosen the better part. She's chosen the better part. Friend, let me tell you this. Martha was busied, occupied with doing for Christ. But Mary was occupied with Christ. And I can tell you, friend, we need workers in the field in Londonderry. We need workers to go out and get people in under the sound of the Word of God. But let me tell you, friend, before you can work for Him with all your heart, you must love Him with all your heart. You must love Him. And when we find the church at Ephesus, yes, they had activities and they had labors and even they had patience in the midst of trying time. But they failed in that they had left something very important. They had left their first love. You know, love for Christ is so important. There's a wee hymn that says, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord?" Do you remember when you could see it, friend? I was a child of 8. And I remember that night kneeling down in a wee at a wooden farm in a little gospel mission outside Dungannon. And that night I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Remember as a young person, one of the first things I got when I was a teenager, I got a scooter. And I remember there was a gospel mission outside Cookstown, which was about 5-6 miles from where we lived at home. And it was the early morning prayer meetings would have started at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then I remember as a young lad, nothing would have stopped me getting on that scooter. It was cold, the frost was on the ground, but I made it in that scooter to get to the place of prayer. You know why? Because I love the Lord. Do you love Him like that? Do you really love Him with all your heart for Him? That you go through anything for the Lord and your love for Christ? But what happens is this. Notice what it says. Thou hast left thy first love. Do you know what there's an indication in that word, left thy first love? It means there was a gradual process. It just didn't happen overnight. Once you were in the things of God, and then the next thing you were out of the things of God. No, friend. There was a gradual process. In actual fact, in many ways, what happened did not happen intentionally, but it did happen. They had left their first love. Maybe they got so taken up with the activities that they forgot their need to spend time with the Lord like Mary at the feet of Jesus. And maybe this morning there's something, maybe it's business, maybe it's family. Maybe it's financial situations. Maybe whatever it is, friend. But maybe there's someone in this meeting this morning. You've got to be honest before God and say, "Listen, I'm not the person I used to be for God. I was once on fire for God. I once loved the things of God. But there's something missing. There's a coldness. There's a deadness. There's a formality there. It's missing in my heart and my life." Does that grieve you today? Does that bother you today? That you're losing out with God? Just keep your hand there very quickly. Turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians just for a moment. And in 1 Thessalonians, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, is writing to the church there. And I want you to notice something here. He speaks about the church of Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse number 2. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father." Notice what he wrote there. He spoke about three things. He says, "I remember," says Paul, "I remember your work of faith. And I remember your labor of love. And I remember your patience of hope." Do you see what's missing when you come to Revelation chapter 2? You not see there's no mention of faith, there's no mention of love, and there's no mention of hope. The Lord says, I know your labor, I know your works, and I know your patience. When Paul was writing to the church of Thessalonica, he says, I remember your work of faith. That's why we're working. Because of your faith in the Lord. I remember your love, your labor of love. Not only I remember your labors, I remember your labor of love. And I not only remember your patience, he says, I remember your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they were taken up with the Lord. And yet God, through his servant John in that Isle of Patmos, says, John, write to the church. And you tell them this. There's labor without love. There's doctrine without devotion. Thou hast left thy first love. Do you remember Mary in the scriptures once again in the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24? It tells us the love of many shall wax cold. Do you remember when Mary poured the alabaster box, Matthew chapter 26? And she was in the presence of the Lord and she had got that precious box of alabaster box of ointment. Then she had gathered that over years and it cost so much, it was so precious. And then she looked into the face of Christ and she looked at her alabaster box of ointment. She said, you know, that's precious. But Lord Jesus, you're more precious. You know, she took that alabaster box of ointment, friend. You know, she did. She broke it. And she poured it over the head of Christ. See, when the disciples saw her, you know what they said? Look at the waste. Look at the waste. Now you've saved for years. That you've gathered that for years. It's the most precious thing you have. And what do? You simply break it and you pour it over the head of this man, Jesus. And they said, what a waste. The Lord Jesus looked at them and said, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Let me tell you, friend, Mary never thought of the cost. Do you know why? Because Mary's love for Christ made the difference. You know, we sang a wee hymn this morning, didn't we? My Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. And I know you're mine. And whilst the Lord Jesus saw that love in Mary, friend, the Lord Jesus said, John, you write this down. Yes, I see. I saw all of these things. But there's something missing. What is it, Lord? You ever ask the Lord, friend? You know that your heart's not the same as you used to be. What is it, Lord? Has it ever troubled you? That you've lost the zeal, the fire, the stand for God you used to have? What is it, Lord? Or says John, tell them, you've lost your first love. I've got to finish with a last thought, friend, this morning. The Lord's correction. And this is so, friend. If you've lost out with God, if you're not the person that God wants you to be and you know you ought to be, then tell me. You say to me, preacher, tell me, what should I do? What can I do? Well, let's look at verse 5 quickly as we finish.
First thing is God says, remember. Remember. They were to recall the early days when they first trusted Christ. That excitement, that love, that zeal. They needed to realize just how far they had fallen. Friend, let me tell you, we need to take stock this morning. Honestly before God. John Newton. We sing the hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. John Newton plumbed the depths as a slave trader on the high seas, and God saved him. He wrote a text in great letters and hung it on his mantelpiece that he would always see. And these were the words. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, but the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee. My friend, that's a good thing to remember. Remember, even every child of God that said, just remember, you are what you are today, but by the grace of God. It's God's grace. You have nothing to boast of. Sometimes, you know, God's people can be sanctimonious and they can look at a down-and-out or a drunkard or a gambler or a whoremonger or some person that's caught up in sin, and somehow they walk on past. It doesn't bother them. In other words, it's a sanctimonious thing. Look at them. I want to tell you, my friend, only for the grace of God, it would have been you instead of them. Only for the grace of God, we would have been in the gutter. Thank God he didn't pass us by. Thank God he didn't leave us in our sin. But in his grace and his mercy, he stooped down and reached down. And thank God he redeemed us. God's saying to you, if you've lost out with God today, God says, remember. Remember the freshness of your first love. Take me back. I sang a wee hymn years ago. Lord, take me back to Calvary. Take me back to the place that I started. God, loose the chains and let me go free. For I can't stay away any longer. Oh God, take me back. Take me back to Calvary. And then God says, not only remember, God says repent. God says repent. Friend, let me tell you, when you realize just exactly where you fell and what was the cause of your fall, then you've got to turn from it. You've got to repent. A change of mind. You cannot go on the way you're going. You'll never have the happiness of the Lord. You'll never have the joy. You remember what David cried out in the Psalm 51? He says, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't say, restore to me my salvation. No, he couldn't lose it, but he could lose his joy. And he did. When he sinned against God and sinned with Bathsheba. In other words, you're not to continue with that cold heart, friend. You need to have that Emmaus Road experience that those two disciples, as they walked that road with the Lord Jesus that evening. And did they not say, did not our hearts burn within us? Well, he talked to us by the way, and he opened unto us the scripture. Remember, repent. And then it says, do the first works. In other words, return. Return. Get back. You want to be used of God, friend? You need to get back to the place of blessing. You need to get back to the place of the study of God's word. You need to get back to the place of prayer. You need to get back to the Lord. Get back to your first love. See, the preacher's not easy. No, friend, it isn't. You can go on the way you're going, you know. But God did say this. He says, if you go on the way you're going, God says, look at the end of verse 5. He says, if you don't remember, if you don't repent, and if you don't do the first works, he says, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove the candlestick. God can remove your testimony, friend. God can remove you. You know, whenever a person goes away from the Lord and backslides and grows cold and careless, friend, we hurt the Lord's name. Because the world's looking at us and saying, there's the one that used to preach to me. There's the one that used to talk to me about the Savior. Look at them now. Where are they? And we hurt the Lord's testimony. Let me tell you, friend, God can remove you, bringing shame upon His name and His God. Get back. I pray that God will take up His word this morning, that God will speak to His heart, to our hearts, and that we might get back to the place where, like David says, I love the Lord. Lord Jesus, I love you. For these last words, I say, I remember just before my mom, she's in hospital, a short time before she died. She's up in Craigavon Hospital, and my mom, you know, whenever, I remember from childhood days, my mom didn't pray in, she always prayed out. She used to go up into the room, and I used to remember sitting outside her doors as a little boy. And my mother talked to the Lord, and I heard her pray for each one of us, one by one. Didn't say, Lord bless my family. No, she jumped down, each one of us, the five of us, prayed individually for our needs, and I used to sit at her door and hear my mother pray. Let me tell you, friend, I didn't need anybody to tell me my mother knew the Lord, because sitting at her door, outside her door, she prayed, I did. She loved him. And I remember when she was in the hospital, she used to pray. It's a ward of four, but before she would go to sleep, she used to pray. She used to pray out. A Roman Catholic male nurse said to me, called me to the side one night. She said, Mr. McRae, I want to tell you something. He says, your mummy loves Jesus. I thought that was a great testimony. Your mummy loves the Lord. And I remember going in to visit her, and she was praying. So I stood outside, and she was telling the Lord. And she says, Lord, and she went down each one, and she says, Lord, you know I love every one of them. And then she said these words, filled my soul. She said, but Lord Jesus, I love you best of all. I love you best of all. My Jesus, I love you. Or as the Lord looks down in your heart, as He's saying, I know you've left your first love. You've wandered away. May God bring you back. Let's pray.